looking at it. Luke chapter 4 is where we're going to be looking at this morning. Now, I got a PowerPoint. I don't know if we're going to use it or not, but up there, it's on you. I'm not going to tell you to flip the thing, so whenever you want to flip it, that's fine. If you think I'm too long on a certain point, just move it. I'll know, okay, it's time to get going again, but we'll go from there. In January 2007, I preached a message to our church at the beginning of the year on a theme that we wanted to have for our church that year, and the theme was passionately following Jesus. That's what we wanted to follow that year. And it was a theme that had such an impact in us that we kept it for 2008, 2009, 2010, and it continues to be our yearly theme, passionately following Jesus. We just personally haven't found a theme that we would rather go to. It had a big impact in our church in May of 2012. As we were looking at what God was leading us into as a church, our small church, about 65 people, we sensed that God was leading us into a weekly community outreach meal. A meal that we budgeted $100 a week to pay, which was about 10% of our weekly income. And this was going to be a massive undertaking for us. July 2018... we're sitting here, August 2018, and we are still running that ministry. We have about 60, 65 people who will come each week to hear the gospel and to be fed. And now we are about two-thirds of the way through building a new building in our community so that we can have more outreach ministry, teaching people through like parenting skills, cooking classes, addiction support groups, things like that, to help people in our community in these social ways, but ultimately to bring the gospel to them. And that's always our passion. Now, if you'd known me 15 years ago, you would have thought there is no way in the world that Kurt would ever be leading a church that would have this kind of ministry. I had never been in a ministry that did this kind of work. I really had no desire to be in a ministry that did this kind of work. Matter of fact, when we came to New Zealand, we were very much wanting to have a white-collar kind of church, you know, very many professionals and doing deep Bible studies and all these kind of things, which is nothing wrong with that, but Hastings ain't the place for that. We're more blue-collar, more provincial, and so we're just praying, God, what do you want us to do? And that phrase, passionately following Jesus, really started leading us as a church to follow what God wanted us to do rather than what we thought God should let us do. Genesis 24, 27, one of my favorite verses in the King James Bible, Abraham's servant is looking for a wife for Isaac. And there's a statement that says, I being in the way, the Lord led me. And I love that phrase. I kind of get the picture of a little dog running around somebody's feet and you know, tripping over it. And I kind of feel like that's a great place for us to be, right at God's feet, letting him lead us as we walk through this life with him. And so we as a church just kept looking at where God was leading us. And we ended up having this kind of ministry, and it's been a crazy ride. It really has. This is just not something that we envisioned what would happen. And we are not the perfect church by any stretch of imagination, but we absolutely love what God has given us to do. We love that kind of ministry. I'm here, you know, part of your missions conference, and I'm glad this is happening because for the first time in our church's history in October, we're going to be doing the same thing. We're going to be having a missions conference. So I'm already picking Pastor Ken's brains, and I'm picking Pastor Mike's brains, and this afternoon, I'm just going to learn everything I can about how to run a really good missions conference. So you're way ahead of us on that, and I love that idea. And I love the theme that you have, rescue the perishing. Where are the perishing? They are everywhere. I mean, they are everywhere. There are so many needs in our world today. All the foreign fields that we look at where the gospel isn't there at all. Right here in Howick, right in your backyard, your coworkers, your classmates, there are people perishing everywhere. It is a massive job. It's almost too big to do. And we might be encouraged to say, well, it's too big, I don't want to look at it. Or sometimes we go the other way and we get so reactionary, I got to do it this way, I got to reach this person here, but I got to reach this person over here, and I got to reach this, and we start making decisions that really may not be the wisest in that situation and certainly won't expand to a general call. And really, when we're faced with that kind of a big task of rescue the perishing, we really need to have a good understanding of why we do what we do, what we're going to do, and how we're going to get it done. In other words, a philosophy of ministry. In Luke chapter 4, we have that. This plan that Jesus set, and a plan that we can follow. It is vital that we have a plan to follow. In Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 12, we have the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. We're familiar with that whole story, probably more familiar from the Gospel of Matthew. And then in verse 13, Jesus begins his public ministry, and one of the first things that Luke records him doing is right here in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21. So let's look at these verses. So Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendants and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogues were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." We call ourselves Christians. Another way of expressing that is little Christs, followers of Jesus Christ. We want to be Christ-like. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says, we are to be conformed to the image of his Son. 1 John 2, 6, he who says he abides in him, speaking about Jesus, ought himself also to walk just as he walked. What does it mean to walk the way that Jesus walked? What does that look like? It's not so much about the what. We don't put on sandals and a robe and all that kind of thing. It's not, those things are culturally defined. It's more about how did he do what he did? Why did he do what he did? What did he depend on to do what he did? And that's what we need to be looking at this morning. So I want us to look at this passage from that point of view. This was basically Jesus' mission statement. And if we are followers of Christ and want to be little Christ, this should also guide us in our mission statement as individuals, as a church, and certainly in how we are expanding into missions around the world. So I want us to look at, first of all, the method of doing God's work. In other words, what do we need in order to do God's work? Some churches might turn to gimmicks or business models or personal resources. What did Jesus turn to? Well, we see, first of all, he had a dependence on the Holy Spirit. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Jesus depended on the Holy Spirit. We can do no less. A dependence on the Holy Spirit. What does that look like? Rolling on the ground, ecstatic speech, you know, kind of crazy behavior. I just finished preaching a series in Galatians in our church, and Galatians chapter 5 has some fantastic instruction about being dependent on the Holy Spirit. We're to walk in the Spirit. We're to live by the Spirit. We're to be led by the Spirit. Ephesians talks about being filled by the Spirit. In other words, in our personal, in our church, in our missions statements, we need to be empowered. We need to be led by, we need to be guided by, and controlled by the Holy Spirit. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 19 through 21, we read these verses, "Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies, test all things, hold fast what is good." This is a great, great passage about what we're to do. We listen to the Holy Spirit's guidance as he works through the prophecy of his word. His word, the Holy Spirit uses his word to guide us and to lead us and empower us. So first of all, whatever we're doing, and especially in our missions ministry and in our church ministry and our personal ministries, we must have dependence on the Holy Spirit, believing that he will speak to us and then empower us to do what he calls us to do. Do you believe that? The second part of this that we see is not only a dependence on the Holy Spirit, but a commitment to God's call. Jesus says he was anointed by God for this ministry. A lot of Christians get weirded out by that term, anointed. You know, this is anointed, that's anointed, my toe's anointed, all these kind of anointing. And do you have the anointing? As Christians, we do. Because the word anointing simply means designated or assigned to a task. Jesus was assigned the task of reaching the world by his Father. Folks, we as Christians have that same anointing, that same designation, that same call to a task. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, familiar verses to you. Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That was spoken to the apostles. Jesus spoke to the apostles, the leaders of the church. In Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And I've heard some people say, yeah, but those were spoken to the apostles. That's not for us today. But if you look then, not Acts 1:8, but Acts 8:1, you see that not even the early church believed that. It says, at that time a great persecution arose against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So everyone in the church was scattered with this persecution except the apostles. They stayed there in Jerusalem. And look at verse 4, what those who were scattered did. It says, therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Folks, the commission that Jesus gave the apostles was not just for the apostles, it was for the church. We are part of the church today. We have God's anointing. Are you committed to that anointing? If we have that dependence on the Holy Spirit and a commitment to doing what God's called us to do, then we're able to move into what God calls us to do. If you're going to try to reach the world in your own strength, or if you are thinking that reaching the world is no longer your responsibility, you cannot be like Jesus in your Christian walk. We need to follow Jesus' example. That's the method. We move on now to the motive for doing God's work. Why do we do this stuff? Why do we want to reach out to the world? Some people, you know, some churches will say, well, we want to be the biggest church in our area. That's our motive. Or, you know, I love the goal that you have, $92,500. Yeah, I love that. That's going to be a great statement throughout this year, isn't it? That pause for the dollars. Yeah, I love that goal. But you know, folks, that's not the ultimate motive for your missions program. If that $92,500 is your ultimate goal, you're not going to be following Jesus' example. That $92,500 is a means to the goal. What is the goal? Well, Jesus said here he was called to preach the gospel. Okay, well, preach. He was a preacher. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a pastor. That's not my role. Well, the word preach means simply to announce often, to announce extensively and publicly. Preaching in this case is not about a role. It's about an action. It's about announcing publicly and often and loudly to people. We live in a world today of political correctness. You know, we don't want to make anybody upset anymore these days. Don't push your beliefs on me. They say that as they're pushing their belief on you. Don't push your beliefs on them. But imagine this, that a cure for some horrendous disease gets discovered. What's going to happen? Well, that cure is going to be announced often and publicly and loudly. Why? Because it's good news, isn't it? A cure for a horrendous disease has been discovered. But would you imagine people would say this? Well, we don't want to share that good news that this disease has been, a cure for this disease has been discovered, because it will remind people that they are sick, and that'll make them feel bad. And if they feel bad, they may not like our message, and then they won't like us. So let's just keep this good news to ourselves. That's silly stuff, isn't it? You know, yet we have a cure for the greatest disease known to mankind, sin. And when we remind people of that, when we preach the gospel message that there is a cure, Jesus Christ is the cure, it will make people feel bad because they'll realize that they have a disease, they have a sickness, they have sin in their life. Folks, we can't allow political correctness to guide us. Our motive is to preach the gospel. Everywhere we go, every Christian has that motive to preach the gospel. We have this great message, and it is an important message. Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Folks, that is an important message that we as individuals, as a church, have a responsibility to take to our world. That's the first part of our motive, is to preach the gospel. But it goes on, we need to preach the gospel to those who so desperately need it. Jesus mentions five kind of people here. He talks about the poor. That's not just about those who have a little bit of money, but it's speaking about those who the world thinks have little value. We need to preach the gospel to those who feel undervalued, who the world thinks have no importance in life. To the brokenhearted, the crushed, the shattered, those who have experienced huge disappointments. They need the gospel message. To the captives, those who are held captive by addictions, by horrible pasts, even by false religions in these other countries that we send missionaries to. The blind, those who can't see where to go, literally and figuratively. How many times have you heard people say something like, I just don't see my way out of this? They need the gospel. To the oppressed, to those who are crushed by life, to those who have financial hardships, relationship hardships, job pressures, decisions that are weighing down on him. These are the people that Jesus came to give the gospel message to. It, certainly he spoke to the wealthy as well. We have examples of that. So he wasn't saying, well, the gospel is not for the wealthy, it's just for these people. But the impact that Jesus was saying is there are people in this world who are really difficult to reach. There are people right in your neighborhood who are difficult to reach, who would be described by this list. There are people you work with, people you go to school with, people in this area, people around the world, people on foreign fields. That is their life. Jesus says, this is why we do what we do. This is why you have a goal of $92,500, is to preach the gospel to those who need it. And that's our world. Never forget that is the call of the church, to preach the gospel to those who need it. We see here finally the measure of doing God's work. How do we know we're doing God's work the right way? Well, we reach that goal, $92,500. We will know we're doing God's work. You know, you could reach $92,500 and not be doing God's work, right? So there's got to be something beyond the goal that will guide you, that will tell you, well, more likes on Facebook, that will tell us we're doing God's work. Not necessarily. How do we know that we are doing God's work? Well, Jesus referred to this phrase here in verse 19, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And to our modern day Western ears, we look at that and say, I don't know what that means. What's that talking about? Well, it's a reference to an Old Testament Jewish understanding, which is talking about the year of Jubilee. You can read about that in Leviticus 25. Basically, it was this. Every 50 years, people who, in the Old Testament Israel, were freed from all their financial debt. Had they sold themselves into slavery to pay off debt, they were released from that. Had they sold property to pay off debts, they were released from that. Basically, everything, land, money, people, all returned to the original owners. And every 50 years, this year of Jubilee, this year, the acceptable year of the Lord, was about freedom. How do we measure success? Jesus said, I do all this stuff. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I'm anointed for this work to preach the gospel. How do I know I've accomplished what God has sent me to do? Freedom. When people find freedom, that's when we know we are doing God's work. Freedom from bondage to sin. freedom from false religions, freedom from insecurity, freedom from eternal damnation, freedom from addictions, from loneliness, from purposelessness, freedom. That is how we measure, are we doing God's work? Are people finding freedom from sin? And not just freedom from sin, but freedom to be who God's made them to be. So it's not just about evangelizing people, but also discipling them to walk according to the way that God has wired them, to walk according to the way that He has designed for them. I know some of you are considering missions as a full-time ministry. Fantastic. If that's what God's called you to do, do it. That's what God's wired you to do. He will provide everything for you. But folks, that's the call of the church, to provide freedom from sin, freedom to be who God's called you to be. That is why we do missions. Because people around the world need freedom. That is why we teach evangelism classes in our churches. Because people in our communities need freedom. That's why when you wake up in the morning, the Holy Spirit puts on your heart a desire to share the gospel with people, because people that you know, that no one else in this church may know, they need freedom. That is how we know we are doing God's work. International Baptist Church and New Hope Community Church are two different churches. We're sister churches, but we're different. We're in different cities. We are reaching different people. We look different. We smell different. But we follow the same Lord. We follow the same Jesus Christ, who calls us to be followers of Him. So this year, as you are considering, you know, your giving this month, as you're considering what you're going to give, I love goals. We'll have a goal for us. It'll be $9,500, I think, but we'll see what the goal is for us, what God leads us as a church to have a goal for our missions. You got to have goals. But can I remind you that that goal is a means to the end of being Christ-like in your mission's emphasis? Are you using Jesus Christ's method to do this work? Are you depending on the Holy Spirit? Bong talked last night about, you're going to have to, you know, go do extra overtime. Well, you know what? If God calls you to do that, He'll give you the power to do that. Amen? Amen. Going out that without that extra cup of coffee during the week, now that's sacrifice. I get that. I understand that. But folks, you know, we joke about that. But the reality is, as you pray about this, don't pray, what can I afford? Pray, God, what do you want to empower me to give this year? The Holy Spirit will guide you and empower you. Are you following that motive? Are you committed to the task that God has given us? You know, in a church this size, it'd be really easy to say, well, I'm just one person. I'll depend, let everybody else take that role this year. If you're a believer in Christ, you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you need to be committed to that same calling of being a part of reaching this world for Jesus. Do you have that same method? Do you have that motive to preach the gospel, to announce the gospel, to proclaim the gospel to those who are so tied up by the issues and problems of this world that they see no way out? Hard people. People who, when you first want to go and help them, they want to turn away from you and reject you. They still need the gospel. And are you using that same measurement? We will know that we are following God's will in our lives when we see people here and around the world free, released from sin, released to be who God's made them to be. That's what it means to passionately follow Jesus. That's what it means to just say, okay, I'm following your way. It's a much better way than my way. Are you as a church, as individuals, committed to passionately following Jesus and doing missions according to His philosophy of ministry? Let's close in prayer. Father, we come to you and we thank you for giving us this tremendous privilege and great responsibility of joining you in the work that you are doing around this world. Lord, you don't send us out to do this stuff. You invite us to walk with you as you are doing this stuff. So, Lord, I pray that your Spirit would continue to do your work in our life and to take what we have quickly looked at from this passage to examine whether we are truly being Christ-like. To ask ourselves, am I following Jesus or am I passionately following Jesus? Father, help us to be willing to follow you exactly where you want us to go, knowing that you provide, that you empower. And Lord, I pray that we will not rest until we see more and more and more people become free. God, thank you for International Baptist Church. Thank you for the testimony they have around New Zealand for leading and helping and guiding so many other churches. But Lord, I pray they'll never, never settle down. That they will continue to follow you to be who you want them to be. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Kurt, for such a great, encouraging kickoff message. I ask that you all stand with me. As you stand, I'd like to just reemphasize a little bit of the challenge, just so it's real clear in your heart and your mind what we as a church would like to get accomplished. The very first thing that you can, as a church, do to help missions is pray. Every week, pray for Brother Johan. Pray for the other missionary support that we're looking at taking on. Pray for our current missionaries. You know, we list in our bulletin every single week. We list a missionary or two. We list their names in here. You can pray for them. Pray for the Lord's protection and provision over them as they go out and they minister. The other way that you can be a part of missions, we've mentioned it many times so far this morning, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but that's the giving part. Just pray, Lord, what can I do to give that others might go? But then there's one other thing. That's the going part. As the Lord leads you, whether you're a man or a woman, young or old, your past is no reflection of your newness in Christ and the future that He has and how He can use you. If the Lord's putting the burden on your heart of missions, of perhaps it's me, perhaps I can go and take the gospel to someone, somewhere else, or even right here in this community, your church will be there to support you, to encourage you, to equip you, and to prepare you. You won't be doing it alone. We're oneness in Christ. We're a body, and we do it together. I'm going to ask that you join me in prayer. Prayerfully consider our missionaries and praying for them, making that commitment in your heart. Prayerfully consider even now, Lord, put it upon my heart to give. And if God is speaking and ministering to your heart about going, becoming a missionary in the sense of launching out somewhere else with the support of your church, then would you pray for that as well? Join me in prayer. Let's bow our heads together as we seek God's will to be perfectly done through us at International Baptist Church. Let's pray. Father, as we've heard from your word this morning, so many people around the world without Christ, simply perishing, no hope. The world's philosophy and the world's way can never rescue them the way that the power of the gospel can. Lord, our prayer this morning is that you would search deep into our hearts, collectively as a body of Christ, but individually as your Spirit leads and guides and equips and empowers. Lord, may we be men and women of prayer. May we support our missionaries bathed in prayer every single week, every single day. Lord, may we be giving. May we be a giving church to send to those who are on the front lines in many countries and places around the world. And Lord, may right here at this church, may you be preparing someone right now, young or old, male or female, someone who has a desire and a burden to step out by faith and simply say, Lord, here I am, use me. Father, we entrust that your perfect work to be done in us and through us. May we glorify you with everything that's said and everything that's done. Thank you for Pastor Kurt and the message this morning. May it find its lodging place deep in our hearts. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Hey, just a few moments of announcements that I'd like to share with you before we're dismissed. We'll be dismissed for about 10 minutes with some teas and coffees. We'll be back in here shortly after 10 o'clock for the Sunday school time. Of course, as we mentioned a moment ago, our missions month this month, try to be here for each of the worship services so that you can hear the guest speakers and you can, of course, meet those that we're considering for support. The IBC choir, Bell Choir, we're still in need of a few people to participate in that. Now, if you're interested in that, then see Pastor Ken's wife, Jennifer. She's going to be heading up the Bell Choir, so see her for that. She's not here this morning, but she'll be here through the next Sundays. Yeah. And then the Married Couples Retreat that's coming up in October. We've mentioned that many times over the last few weeks. If you would like to be a part of that, we really need your registration and your sign up for that very soon because we're turning the numbers in this week. I think that's all of the announcements other than to continue to pray for our missionaries this week that we are praying for specifically, John and Rosemary Redshaw. These are missionaries that we supported with Crossing Cultures International. We supported them for quite a few years. And we're going to continue that support through to the end of this year where they will then be moving to another ministry area. So pray for John and Rosemary this week as often as the Lord lays them upon your heart. Before we're dismissed, we want to celebrate with you if you have a birthday or a wedding anniversary this week. We'd like to celebrate with you. Anyone celebrating a birthday this week? Anyone with a birthday this week or today? Come on up here, Lisa. We do this. Everyone comes up here. Anyone else with a birthday this week? Anyone else? You're gonna make Miss Lisa all by herself up here. Anyone else with a birthday? How about wedding anniversaries? Anyone with a wedding anniversary? No one. You are the one. We're going to be dismissed in prayer. Especially want to pray for Lisa and the year coming up for her. So let's all stand together as we're dismissed in prayer. We'll be back in here just a few minutes past 10 o'clock. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you, we thank you for this morning, for all that's been done. Lord, our prayer is that you would use us as a church, use us as a congregation. I pray especially for Lisa, your blessings upon her this day and through this next year. Lord, bless her in so many ways that she rejoices unto you, and that for that